Welcome back for the first 2022 edition of unpaidmoviecritics.com. We are very happy you're joining us in our COVID-fueled homes, and hopefully you are staying safe and everything in this random weird time. As for not having a lot and happening in December, but there was a lot happening for us in December.
Well, but anyway, mostly for Mike, because Mike went home for the holidays.
And I got COVID, and it was extraordinarily and fun. But right now I'm joined with a fabulous Fixel, is what we're calling her right now. She is the purveyor of film knowledge. The woman who has cinema pouring out of her skin. The woman who says, is this a bad movie? And does it star Frank Stallone? Yes, it does. I'm still seeing it. That's who I'm with. Week 99ers own Detroit Film Critics Society member, Miss Pixel.
All right. So, Michael.
Yes.
Tell everyone where you suspect that you got COVID from.
I think I got it from a plane, to be completely frank. I know what you're going to say. I know you were going with that, but it wasn't that. I don't think I got it from Belinda Carlisle's Christmas party. I think it came from the plane. And I was at Belinda Carlisle's Christmas party, which is probably the gayest thing I said, probably in a few months. And I did just sing Lady Gaga earlier today. So, but yeah, it was really random. Not a fun experience. If you can avoid it, please do.
Do what you can to avoid
it. Do what you can. It really screwed up my whole Christmas. We ended up salvaging it, but
that's also why we're a little delayed for our start for the year, because you stayed home a little longer so you could see your sister and your niece and nephew. And
oh yeah, it was awful. I mean, the choking, I had vertigo, so I couldn't really stand very long. And thankfully, I did shower every day for the benefit of humanity and my mother and her dogs. And then it was, in the shower, you had to brace yourself because the vertigo was so hard. It was very hard to even condition my hair with the coconut milk conditioner that I had. And I'm telling you.
You have to shout out that it was coconut milk, though.
Well, it was a coconut milk charcoal conditioner, and I really enjoyed it, so I have to try to find it now.
Detoxify while you're conditioning.
Detoxify while I'm falling down in the shower with COVID.
Nice.
And then, but I had to go out, get out of the shower dripping wet, and I'm like, oh, and I had to lay down in the bed, and then to get myself back assembled, then I had to get back up, brush your teeth, lay down again. Then you have to, it was just a whole saga of horrors. And then that was the coughing. Like it'd be like a 15-minute coughing, and then it was a dry cough, so you're not really throwing anything up or coughing anything up. So then your stomach is contracting, and then you want to throw up. So then you start dry heaving. It was just, and then you're weak. I mean, like I literally was laying in the couch, and I could hear my text going off, and I'm like, oh, I need to check that, but I didn't have the energy to check texts or emails or anything.
I mean, the past weekend, you say you are feeling better, but you're answering texts at about the same speed. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm getting back into the groove. I'm about 84% better.
Okay. That's good.
And I got a haircut yesterday, so that really did help.
Good.
My hair was like all everywhere. Like the sides were all pushy, and I was like, I don't even know what's happening right now. And that's a new word for today is pushy.
Okay.
But yeah, it was awful, and I don't recommend it. I'm just putting it out there. Like, attempt not to get it because it was not fun.
Right.
Thankfully, I did. And I didn't really realize the dehydration issue until late. Because I was always like, when I get sick, I do this weird little concoction of mine. I do like a 7-Up, mango juice, pomegranate juice, and orange juice, just to get really vitamin C'd up. And like, what I didn't realize is I was so dehydrated. The juice was making me more dehydrated. And then my body was like, get the effing juice out of your system. And so then I was coughing and throwing up juice, which actually didn't taste that terrible because, the juice kind of tastes the same going in and out. So really it wasn't that terrible, but it wasn't
fun throwing up. It doesn't help with the stomach either. Like the muscles and
Or the temple headache. So you're coughing so hard, you get these headaches right here in your temple. You feel like the Tin Man with like little things on your brain because it's like the pressure right here was so intense. And then the fevers, it was almost weird. Like every 8:45 every night, I'd get 101 degree fever. Wow. And it was really strange. And my body was just fighting something off. Even Scott said, I was home, he said, you had a fever again the first night you were here, because your body is still fighting, you know, no matter what. And my doctor told me, he's like, even though you tested negative, you're going to have residual stuff. He's like, your body is still fighting crap off.
I have a friend that had a breakthrough infection. She went and helped a friend out for a day, and her and one of her children got it. And she actually, she just had surgery this morning because it actually attacked her gallbladder. So she had to have her gallbladder out.
It's the weirdest disease I've ever heard. I mean, usually things have like specific
a rhyme or reason.
There's no rhyme or reason here. It's like it's really affects everyone differently. Like my friend got it and she's like, oh yeah, I was fine. I just had a couple little cold symptoms, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, go fuck yourself, bitch.
I completely understand.
And my other friend, like I said, she got it, a different friend, and she's barely able to stand because her vertigo is worse than my vertigo. So it was just, you don't know. And she's like basically throwing up because of the vertigo.
Right.
And she doesn't have the cough. And I was like, well, the cough for me didn't start until 7 days in.
Right. And you know, and that's the funny thing, because you said you got there and you said, oh, you know, you were fine. And then you said, oh, I tested positive and I feel fine. And then a couple days later, you weren't so fine.
No. Well, it was really weird. So I got home on the 18th. My sister was coming in on the 24th and spending the weekend with the kids and my niece and nephew and her husband. The 19th, I just felt a little cold, or 19th or 20th, I guess I should say, probably the 20th. That night, I just felt a little cold. My mom has a doggy door and it's cold in Kentucky, which I don't usually admit that I'm there, but whatever. And so I was like, well, maybe it's just because I'm getting the breeze, and I tend to get colds.
If you get really chills. Fast. Right. Yeah,
I was like, all right, you know, I'm getting blankets and whatever. And we're just, you know, hanging out. So I didn't really think much of it. And then Wednesday, I think it kind of felt the same. It was going to get a little worse, but not like terrible. And then my mother and all of her non-dramatic was like, your sister's not going to come in unless you're going to test. Ah! And like screaming throughout the stairs, you know, stomping around. Get your coat out. I'm like, well, let me just shower. No, you can't shower. And I'm like, oh my God. What is happening? Then she threw me out of the car trying to find tests. So I'm standing out on the street in the freezing cold because my mom's drama. Well, it was a whole long thing. Anyway, and so then I ended up going to urgent care. Then I canceled urgent care. We got the home test. I came home and I tested positive. My mother, in all of her wisdom, she just did this. She was just stood there. She's like, she was convulsing, like, I'm dying. Like, oh, you're dead. It was nice knowing you, son. And I'm like, I'm not going to die. I just tested positive. And then she's just like, what? And I was like, I just was like, I can't handle your drama, Pat. De-escalate as opposed to over-escalate. I'm going upstairs and laying down.
So you call your mom by her first name? That cracks me up every freaking time.
I'm like, listen. And so then I went upstairs and then she talked to my sister, which of course I can hear the entire conversation because my mother is louder than a freight train. She has one of those voices that's like an opera singer. So like she could be in another city and I can still hear her.
Yeah.
Like with craziness. And so it was a fun thing, but it really wasn't that bad. It was getting slightly progressively worse. Then I tested positive and I'm like going, it's all psychosomatic. I tested positive. And it wasn't, it really wasn't. And my mother in her infinite wisdom is still like, well, you're still cooking Christmas dinner. Go get the lobster. And I'm like, I have COVID, woman. You are like giving me glasses that I can only drink out of one glass. And then now you want me to cook the lobster for dinner and the prime rib. Are you high? So what's going to be in the oven? I don't like.
Her rationales didn't quite add up, did they?
No, and it was annoying the crap out of me. But God bless her.
If you didn't get sick, you get a little snippy whenever you go home.
So. Well, I think it is like anyone. I mean, we all get along really, really well, but and honestly, it really worked out well. We didn't really annoy each other too bad. I was always really concerned that I was gonna be one of those patients who are really whiny. And my mom said I wasn't, so that was nice.
She's also your mother, so she could have lied to you. So,
you know, honestly, she wouldn't. We're a very honest family. Yeah. You know, my mom's like, look, you gained 4 pounds. Maybe you should stop eating crackers. Like that's our family.
Keep in, mom. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, there was one year she came in to visit and she's like, listen, we need to talk. And I'm like, oh my God, who just died? She's like, I think you've gained about 15 pounds and maybe you should start doing some sit-ups. Like literally, my mom said that. We're very blunt family. You know,
I mean, there is probably more tactful ways to say things.
We have no tact whatsoever.
Apparently.
And I was like, I get it, Pat. And then she's like, I don't want to be mean. And I'm like, well, I get it.
I already were.
I mean, and my weight does fluctuate sometimes, but
it
I was
like, does. Hey. Let's be real. We're humans. It's right. Not just a number that stays in one spot.
I mean, my arms don't really fluctuate.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the gun show.
Welcome. Oh. Even though I haven't worked out a month.
That's
it's
okay.
It's really weird. I don't understand what to do. Like, I feel like my body doesn't know what to do. It's really weird.
Because I'm not
there yet. So anyway, but COVID itself was not fun. And my mom, eventually everything settled down and we kind of just, they just had all these fun marathon movies. Like they had Vacation, European Vacation, Christmas Vacation, and Vegas Vacation. So one day was literally the oeuvre of Chevy Chase. And then the next day was a Lethal Weapon with Lethal Weapon 1, Lethal Weapon 2, Lethal Weapon 3, Lethal Weapon 4. Movies I never thought I really needed to see again, or 3 and 4.
Yeah.
But, I kind of enjoyed seeing them all in a trajectory. Then it was Men in Black 1, Men in Black 2, Men in Black 3. Thank God, no 4. And then Back to the Future 1, Back to the Future 2, Back to the Future 3. And then we watched Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man 2, Tobey Maguire. And yes, even Spider-Man 3, Tobey Maguire. And it was still as bad as I remember. And there was another one that we watched. I forgot what it was.
Well, at least you got some entertainment in while you were there.
You know, and it was kind of fun because I never would have done that before. But it was really kind of cool if you're not feeling well to watch a movies in succession like that.
Right.
Because who does it? Oh, yeah. There was Die Hard. Die Hard 1, Die Hard 2, and Die Hard 3. So that was fun.
Did you do the Harry Potter marathon that they had on HBO? They have all of the movies because they had the special on that's caused a little drama.
Yeah. No, we watched... I think I worked on the last Harry Potter movie. And so that was actually on, and I wanted to watch it again.
You worked on the last Harry Potter movie and this is the first time I'm hearing this?
You worked on it with me. We did a whole
campaign. Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Did I?
Yeah. It was a big campaign. Like it was my favorite. We did a really fun app for it. We created an individual app. It was all trivia.
Oh, but what did we get? A DVD, right?
It was just DVD. We didn't get anything fun.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, but the covers were all lenticular, so they had the hairy like. But it was fun to do that. My friend John did some of the international posters, so he created some of those. The one of Maggie Smith where she's pointing the wand, the poster. Yeah. He did that.
I love her. I saw somebody you know, with Betty White's passing, then there's people who are being total asses and posting things like today, Maggie Smith, da, 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 and then woke up in her bed. And I'm like, just please don't. If right now, protect these people, give us, because it's been like one a day this year.
There's been some sad losses. Betty White was a lot. I mean, granted, she had an amazing life.
She did, but
I'm just like, put Judi Dench in a hermetically sealed room.
Yeah.
I love that woman with a fiery passion because she's amazing. And I'm like, we can't lose Judi. We can't lose the Dench.
No.
We cannot lose the Dench or the Smith, you know. Right. So those are icons I just can't say goodbye to just yet.
You know? And I mean, this week with Bob Saget, Sidney Poitier.
It's a shock.
Well, yeah, especially he wasn't that old.
No, he was only 60. That's nothing.
65, yeah. Which, I mean, when we were growing up watching him on Full House, he seemed a lot older. Now, 65, you're like, okay, yeah, that's not that old.
Well, people are living, you know, more. You know, I mean, like 85, you're like, well,
yeah.
You know, so now 65 is really, really young. It's really sad.
It is.
You know, I mean, I didn't like Full House.
Well, I was the perfect age. Like, I think I was 7 when it came out. So I was like, I watched all the way up. I've watched all of Fuller House, even though I know that one is just total garbage, but it's entertaining garbage. It's one of those just completely turn off your brain. So, you know, I know.
I hated Dave Coulier with a fiery passion. I just, I couldn't stand him.
Mm-hmm.
That thing, I'm like, oh my God, punch that man in the face.
He wasn't my favorite. Very
wild conversation we're having. This is like not even like.
I know, we're not talking about movies.
Poor Bob Saget, fuck Dave Coulier. You know, I mean, like, I don't really know where we're going, but it's great to be back.
Oh, welcome back.
I know.
2022, where we can't stay on topic ever.
Ever. And it probably will go that way for a very long time.
But
I want to talk to you, though, because okay. I'm going to go see Scream.
Yes, sir.
For the first, movie theaters and I am still kind of like,
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen every Scream movie in the theater, which we had mentioned before we started recording. And I have to see Scream in the theater.
Yes.
And you saw it.
I did. I saw it last Thursday in theaters, and it's probably the last one I'll see in theaters for a while because it seems like all of the studios are kind of rolling back press screenings and releases again because of the caseloads and all of that. I mean,
which sucks. Because there's so many movies I actually want to see, even though I heard Matrix wasn't what everyone wanted it to be. I haven't seen it yet.
It's okay.
I want to
see. Not a huge fan, so.
I love my Keanu, as you're aware of.
Yeah, everybody's aware of your love of Keanu.
Keanu!
So.
And again, I'm only at 85%. I would like to mention that again. So that Keanu probably wasn't as strong as it could have been, but
in the future you'll yell his name louder, I'm sure.
Keanu! But you know.
But anyway,
I do want to see. I mean, I have HBO Max. We'll probably end up watching it there because I really wanted to see it in IMAX. But
you know,
and honestly, Kingsman.
I don't know that one needs to be seen in IMAX. Now we did see Scream in what they call, it was the Epic Theater, which is the theater we go to for the screenings version of IMAX, basically.
Oh, okay.
The giant screens, but it was like, I don't want to say there were about 20 of us, which was a higher number for press screenings,
mm-hmm.
but we're in a room that seats 500. So we could space way out.
Right. But you know, and the funny thing is when you see a horror movie, I mean, I remember going to see the first Scream and telling my friend who we were dating at the time, I told her, I was like, oh, it's a comedy.
It is.
And it is. It wasn't a lie. It's a comedy where people get slashed up bits. And
right.
She hated horror movies.
And so
like, are you sure it's a horror movie? Are you sure it's a comedy? Oh yeah, it's a total comedy. And I'm laughing my ass off, loving every second. And she's like crawling up my arm, like just reaching, you know. And I was like, it was really fun.
But I mean, this one, I mean, the only thing that bothers me about it, I mean, is the name Scream. Like,
I don't know why they did that.
I don't actually know. Because I was going to say, I think they're trying to reboot it, but they're not. Because it's very self-referential. It makes fun of the movie itself. It makes fun of these reboots. It makes fun of all of that stuff through the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It calls itself a requel. So, because it's a reboot and a sequel, and you know, it brings back the original cast, it brings in new players related to the cast, but I don't think they're actively trying to reboot the series.
Really? So, how was the original cast used? I mean, that's spoilers, obviously. Are they used well?
Yeah, they actually are.
That's good. Yeah. I don't, every time they try to bring in new people, like Scream 4. I hated it. I was like, no, it wasn't good. Scream 3, because Scream 3, when they brought in Parker Posey, I thought that was genius.
Of course, because you love Parker Posey.
I love Parker Posey, which we can go on again. But if you watch that movie, her and Courtney Cox have the best chemistry.
Yeah.
She's like, my Gale Weathers would never do that. She's like, my lawyer liked that not as much as I did. I mean, it was so good. Like,
and that's what
really owned it.
In our house, I believe we have Scream 1 through 3. We do not have 4 because 4 is not as beloved as the others.
And the 4 is fucking dumb. Well, and now I had
a reference to that in the new one when they're making fun of Stab. because they talk about how like one of the sequels is so far off base from the originals that it loses fans. So they talk about that stuff.
Yeah, because they were supposed to, in Scream 4, they were supposed to be a new trilogy.
Right.
Scream 4, 5, and 6. And then they were going to do it where Emma Roberts was the new Sydney.
Okay.
She gets away with it. And then the next Scream, and you find out she gets away with it. She doesn't die. The next Scream would have been Scream 5. And it would have been about her becoming the new Sydney and someone actually going after her. And then Scream 6 would be her getting caught.
Right.
For the Scream 4. And I was, it's kind of fun, you know, but then I was like, and I like Emma Roberts quite a bit. She made Scream Queens. She was great in Horror Story Coven playing that same kind of character, but still, I enjoyed her in those two things, even though I rewatched Scream Queens. It's not good. But she's still really good in it. But it didn't work. The movie didn't work. And these people who are like, you know, the size of a stick trying to kill people, come on, stop.
I mean, you still have that happening. So keep that in mind. But there's twists in it. Like some of it's very predictable. I mean, they all are to some degree. You can figure it out. It follows the same format as the original. But it's not like there's a couple twists that you won't see until the end. So that I at least appreciated. Because there's like this week I screened, last week I screened six movies. And a whole series. And this week has been two movies. And one of the movies that I screened last week, I believe is in theaters today as well, which is today's the 14th when we're recording.
What is it?
Shattered. Is that what I thought?
I should have a song called.
But there's like three or four other movies that have been named that over the years.
Well, yeah.
So hold on. Like the cast, I'm not really, it's called Shattered. It's got John Malkovich as the main name in it, although he plays a very small part. Cameron Monaghan and...
I like him. He's a good actor.
And Frank Grillo and...
I like Frank Grillo, too.
So, I mean, I like the actors, but it's built, it's this psychological thriller. If you watch the trailer, it gives the whole movie away.
Oh.
Like, and I'm like, no. You know, and it was kind of, it's predictable and she's not very, like, she's playing this femme fatale. It's almost like, it kind of reminded me of Misery, but she's after his money.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, you know, and I mean, some people may find it thrilling, but I was really kind of disappointed.
I'm sorry.
But that's, hey, you know what? Like Jason says, being a film critic sounds like a lot of fun until he listens to some of the crap I watch. And then he's like, yeah, that's not as fun as it sounds. Because I've
seen
everything.
It's really hard to watch everything. It's really good in terms of a learning, because I'm a writer, obviously.
Right. And
to see crap that gets made, you kind of go,
how?
How did they get budget? And how did these people sign on? And how did they get, you know?
Right. It's
interesting to...
I'm a little curious, like that one, it has very few sets. It's like one or two places, maybe three, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. I would just kind of hope for more if you're billing it as a psychological thriller and even the twist they show in the trailer. I was like, why am I going to spend 2 hours watching a movie when I can watch a 2-minute trailer and get the whole story?
Right.
So that, you know, there's something.
Oh, sorry. I cut you off.
What's that?
Speaking of quiz, I wanted to ask you about something we both love.
Yes, sir.
And that is a little TV show called Dexter.
Yeah. Did you finish it?
I did. I was super excited. I watched, because I was sick, I couldn't keep up in real time, unfortunately, but I caught up. I think I watched 4 episodes on the plane, which actually was perfect.
On the plane?
Yeah, it was perfect because it was like, I really got into it on the plane. I mean, I liked the new reboot. I would like to point out.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed it. I think they rushed it a little bit. I don't think, plotting wise, looking back, the ending was rushed and I don't think he would have been found out. And it was a little too convenient in some level. Like, I don't know. Like the police chief, they kept saying how good a cop she was. My gosh, she ain't gonna cut. She's not a good cop.
Well, but, it's also taken her 25 years to solve one case.
I know. I'm like, are you a good cop?
So the Kurt guy with his bunker of bodies.
Right. Okay, that are
spoilers. I understand there's no service out where his cabin was, all of that. How did you get that built?
Right.
Like, it's not, I mean, you could have them buried in your yard and you could say, okay, I'm making my own shelter for, you know, emergencies and tornadoes or whatever. And he could have built the body cases and all of that. But there's so many things. And one thing I was, while we were watching the episode, the final episode, I was talking to Jason and I was like, okay, so somebody delivered that envelope with those pins to her front door.
Right.
What is that by her front door? That's a doorbell cam.
Yeah.
She's a cop. She can record and go back and see who dropped that off.
Right. And that whole thing was dumb.
And in it's my humble circumstantial opinion. Because, okay, because somebody dropped that off and then this is found in his house. Do you have...
In the ashes of his house. And what? Would they really find a screw?
Well, and even if she did find it, the heat would take away any fingerprints. It would take away everything. It's all circumstantial.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm like, it all kind of felt dumb in some level. Like, that was stupid. I was like, oh, come on. You just want to tie it up. And honestly, I felt like this season, this series needed two seasons to get where they went.
And they honestly, they misused Baptista. They should have had him.
Really?
Like, he was just there for a little side conversation here and there just to fill in information to justify what she was saying.
And would, you know, it's a little convenient that she suddenly ran into him.
Right.
This thing, and
it's
then
almost like it was written that way.
And then let me tell you, when I saw him come back, I was so excited. Right. But I don't remember him. I don't remember him in the original series because he was friends with Dexter. I don't remember him in the original at the end thinking Dexter was the murderer.
No, but I do remember that Guerta had said to him that she thought it was someone else. I don't know that she claimed or said it was Dexter because she was keeping that close to her chest because she didn't want people to know. But
I don't think he ever suspected him.
No, but him showing up, you know, when he's supposed to be dead and he's showing up on the other side of the country and the same things are happening. But are they
happening?
No, because she didn't have proof. Like, there were a couple, and I told Jason, I said, the injection site thing, that's anybody could, they're going to create the same mark. It's not like a needle specific.
The needle. Thing. It's not a needle specific. And the ketamine didn't really add up to me that it would be based. The Bay Harbor Butcher took bodies, cut them into pieces,
correct.
And put them in the river.
Right.
Because right.
Stupid and put them in the Gulf Stream.
Right. Which I mean, was great when the whole original series of Dexter, seasons 1 through 5, I'm going to include 5, were some of the best TV ever done. 6, 7, and 8. 8 was unwatchable. 6 and 7 were fine, but they weren't 4, you know. I think 5 was still pretty damn good considering.
So
Johnny Lee Miller was really good. The last, it petered out at the end. Oh, God.
I know. And I think fans are having a similar kind of reaction to this ending because while I understand it.
I think they needed to do it. I don't think they needed to do it now. I think
fans want more. And I know the directors have said that if they're asked for another season, they're more than willing to do it.
Right.
Which could be interesting to see the story continue on. But
I get with Harrison. I actually thought as an actor, that kid did a really good job. I was really impressed. And I thought I'd hate him because that's a really hard character to pull off.
Right.
The whiny kid who hates Dexter, who you like Dexter, and you've lived with. And that's tough. And he pulled it off really, really well.
He did.
I'd watch it if he, you know, and Dexter being the hairy part, I get it.
Right. But that's the thing. Would it be him or would it even be Rita?
No, it couldn't be Rita. He didn't know Rita.
Well, he did until he was, you know, he remembers her death supposedly. So, you know, it's an interesting concept if they're able to do it and they can bring it back again.
Well, did you notice at the end, I don't know if you noticed, there was a spot where he was yelling at Dexter and he turns and he goes, shut up. And he turned back to him. It was super fast. But there was a moment like he was talking to somebody else like Dexter does and he turned back. And it was a split second. And I was like, oh, interesting. They set it up.
No, I did not notice that, but that is interesting.
If you go rewatch the ending, you'll see it. Okay. And it was really kind of interesting. I loved how they used Jennifer Carpenter in this.
I loved her in that spot.
She was great. They used her in a perfect way. It was just enough.
Right.
And Deb was crazy, just because Deb was crazy as a character. And they let it happen and they reeled her and they used her perfectly.
They really did. And I know we've said it before, but you know that she was having so much fun doing that.
Yeah, she was great. It was great to see her again.
Total crazy.
Yeah, the wood chipper scene still is one of my favorite moments, where she's just like, ah, the wood chipper, like,
right.
She has his hand, I thought that was really nice.
Right.
I do feel like the whole time I'm watching, going, they just rushed through all of this. They would not have put these pieces together this fast.
No.
And
put together the missing friend and with the killer living around the block.
You could have put together all the missing girls.
Right.
And then, you know, and I'm sorry, anyone that met that Kurt guy was like, creepy. Right. And then all of a sudden she's like, I didn't even know he had a cabin in the woods. I'm like,
That's the thing. Like, if you didn't know he had this
cabin, how do you not know they would have had to excavate the entire area. Trees would have had, I mean, there's no way the trees could have grown. Even
the under part of the cabin with the hotel room down in the creepy hall, you know. I did kind of enjoy, you know, that the podcaster ended up on his list, you know, that he did go back and get her. I mean, not that for that character, but, you know, I really love true crime podcasts, but the way that she was inserting herself goes against everything. Every one of those podcasts, you know, she ignored her gut feelings. Yeah. So, you know, she turned into the perfect victim.
Yeah, I like that she was in there. I mean, I thought it was fun. And I mean, I liked a lot of it. I just thought,
I think it was another more.
This was like two seasons.
Right.
And that was my problem.
It was enough to whet our taste, but not enough to satisfy.
Yeah. I mean, because the whole town was done so well.
It really was.
Great job of setting it up. And I think the whole plot could have been fine, but I wanted to see Dexter really showing Harrison like Harry did. Right. Harry didn't just die and then show up as a ghost.
No.
In the flashback, you saw him. Yeah. You saw him teaching and the sheeting, and that it's just too much that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
That's going to be too difficult. And I don't really think he would have shot him, even if he killed, you know. I don't think Harrison would have shot him.
No, I think he would have, because he was still at this point that he wants to do it for justice.
Right.
And finding out what Dexter did or what he does, and finding out that it wasn't all justice for him.
Right.
You know, once he kills the coach, I think that.
Which we all saw coming. Come on now.
Yeah, you don't get that close to somebody who suspected the murder. Just a thought. But, you know, I think, honestly, for me, it was like, okay, I understand why he's doing it, but I don't think that, unless that is his turning point or the thing that they're going to use to pivot him into just killing when he wants, you know, that could be his origin story, other than Rita and everything else that he's had before. That could be the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right. I just kind of felt like, oh, at the end, I was like, no.
So I want to talk to you about a new series. You haven't seen it yet, I'm guessing. It comes on Hulu at the end of the month.
Well, if it's coming out, I haven't seen it.
Yes. Okay. So it's the series that I looked at the name and my first thought was, who asked for this? That Pam and Tommy series. When did you move to LA?
It was a long time ago.
Okay, but was it after 2000 or before?
I think it was right around there.
Okay, so when this all happened, like, I was young enough when the whole sex tape came out that, and the internet was young enough, so it was, you know, it was something that we couldn't easily find, even if we knew how to at that point. All I remember, what's that? You have it?
Oh, I found it.
Okay, so
I love a good sex tape. What can I say?
There you go. But when it came out and all of this was happening, like, I remember the media circus happening about it. Now, the series is actually from mostly their perspective. Now, if we're talking late 90s, when this all happens, Pamela Anderson is called a slut and all this other stuff because this happens. When I finished, like, okay, so first I started out and said, who needs this? 5 minutes in, I am hooked.
Really?
Okay, so there's some really bizarre ass stuff in that show. But it's got Seth Rogen. It's got Nick Offerman. Lily Allen, I think it is playing Pamela Anderson. And Sebastian Stan
is Lily playing Tommy. And that's the singer, Lily Allen.
Let me double check this. Pam and Tommy. Do cast. Lily James. There we go.
I don't think this Kyle singer is.
It's been a while. But anyway, they are so good in their roles. And it just changes how you see this whole situation. But it is total, like, it's total binge-worthy train wreck.
Oh.
And it is, like, watching it, it changes how we perceive what happened. But at the same time, like, if it, seeing it through today's lens, and I know we've said this with other shows and movies we've watched, when you see it through today's lens, it's completely different.
Yeah.
And seeing what actually happened, well, what actually, air quotes on that, happened, you know, it's very interesting. So that one comes out, I want to say, in a couple weeks, next week.
Ooh, I'll check it out.
And it's definitely, like, there's 8 episodes, and I binged them all in one day.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, who needs this? And then 5 minutes in, I'm like, I said, there's some really bizarre things. Like, some of the prosthetics are very bizarre. You'll see. So, but definitely put that one on your radar.
Okay. Well, I do love those true story series that can really dive in. The American Crime Story, they did the OJ trial. I remember that going, why would anyone want to see that? Why do you want to relive this?
Right.
Watch one episode. I'm like, in.
Right.
It's amazing. Right. Why am I so riveted by that? I mean, besides the fact that Sarah Paulson was so good.
She's so good in anything. But, yeah. But I mean, there's some of these shows, like, I watch true crime stuff and all that all the time. All right. Some of these things, I'm just like, nobody needs to know the story behind a sex tape.
Yeah.
But then you watch it and you go, holy crap, this is actually an interesting story. Now, apparently Pamela Anderson is not very happy that this is coming out.
Oh.
So it'll be interesting once it actually comes out, what happens or what wasn't real. Right. So, and I don't know that we'll ever truly know what was real because, you know, she wants it to go away, as I'm sure any woman would.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, Sebastian Stan, he just disappears into Tommy Lee, which is.
I never thought Sebastian Stan was a very good actor. Honestly, I like looking at him because he's pretty.
Oh yeah. He's gorgeous.
But in reality, I mean, like, I always thought Winter Soldier was the most boring character in the MCU. I hated Falcon and Winter Soldier, the series. I just thought it was boring. Really? But yeah, I really thought, coming after WandaVision, which I thought was revolutionary, I loved it. WandaVision was so good.
But there's so many people dislike WandaVision because they just couldn't get past, like, the first episode. We loved it. But
WandaVision was, it was breakthrough.
Okay.
Uniqueness. And then they come out with Falcon and Winter Soldier, which was formulaic and boring.
Okay. I didn't mind Falcon and Winter Soldier. But I also, I mean, I think each one, and they have their own kind of spin. Like this past Hawkeye one, have you got through Hawkeye?
Because I was sick, I didn't see it yet.
Okay,
I heard it's really good.
We enjoyed it. I'm just interested if you didn't like Falcon and Winter Soldier because it, I mean, it's taking Hawkeye and he's the whole family guy, and it kind of plays that hard. And it's also the first one that came out since Eternals. So, you know, Eternals had the first gay couple, gay kiss, first sex scene, all of that. What's that?
I haven't seen Eternals yet.
That's on Disney Plus now, so go watch it. But then they went hard the other way with the big family man and da 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 da. So it almost seems like a little overcorrection.
Hmm.
But I mean, I like Hawkeye, and I like, you know, it was still a good series, but it was kind of more fluff than the other ones have been.
Interesting. Right. Well, when I watched Falcon Winter Soldier, I was like, oh, it's a great idea. Let's put the two most boring characters in MCU together and be like, oh, hey, let's put them together and team them up so it could be like watching Beige. And that's literally what I felt like watching it. I was like, oh, look, it's beige. Oh, look, there is an action sequence. That's beige. It's all boring. And I was really kind of annoyed by it. And to a point where it made me not like Loki. I didn't like Loki either.
Really?
Loki was really boring. I thought Tom Hiddleston was trying his damnedest to make it interesting.
I'm still, you know, the only thing like Owen Wilson in that, and, you know, even in Eternals, just the cast list. I'm like, who isn't in Marvel now?
Right.
That's my thing. It's like everybody's in Marvel. Why?
Julie Louis Dreyfus is in Marvel now. Let's all stop. Who I love her, but really?
Everybody's in Marvel.
Yeah.
It's not special anymore.
It's not special anymore. And I, you know, but I'm kind of, I don't know, I'm just kind of burned out, I guess. It's like, I didn't see Shang-Chi. I didn't see.
That one's so good.
It's good. I want to see it. I haven't seen Shang-Chi, and I haven't seen Eternals, and I haven't seen.
We haven't seen Spider-Man yet.
I haven't seen Spider-Man yet. And I haven't seen, I still want to see Kingsman, but.
Which I enjoyed, and apparently a lot of other critics did not.
Yeah, people, it was really mixed. I mean, it was a worse time to release it because people weren't going to the theaters except for Spider-Man because people felt like they had to see it. But which I get because you have Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, and, you know, all the Spider-Mans together. You know,
they absolutely played just to fans for that movie, though.
Yeah, if I wasn't, you know, on the couch dying, I probably would have went to the theaters as well by myself to see it.
Right. But I mean, like, okay, so if we're going to talk Kingsman, I liked that it kind of stood on its own. So it has hints of the original ones.
Uh-huh.
And it has, like, it makes me want to go back and watch the original ones to see if those things line up.
Mm.
Like, it's the forming of it. But it's also, it goes through history and it's actual events in history. So the history nerd that I am really enjoyed that because
they're
actually portraying things properly. But then you don't have the tech and the exploding heads with the confetti coming out of them and all that shit.
I love that.
But I know, I love those movies, but I really enjoyed it. But it sets it up so they can go back in time and do other ones up until the original one. So, fun. You know, for me, I liked that.
Yeah.
Apparently a lot of other people do not. So, you know, but I find even like there's two or three guys from our film critics group that really dislike the new Scream movie.
Oh.
But then one of my friends in the group, she's way into horror. She loved it. So it's just weird. I mean, it's all personal anyhow.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I just saw maybe a month or so before the break, the impeachment show.
Yeah.
With Sarah Paulson and Beanie Feldstein, whatever her name is. Like, I hated it. I thought it was awful. I absolutely hated it. I thought it was boring. And I thought every one of these characters is awful. And I don't know why I hated that, but loved OJ, but what the difference was, because Sarah Paulson was still really good as Linda Tripp. She was the highlight.
Right.
The other girl, Beanie Feldstein, whatever her name is, I thought she was awful. She just was whiny and she wasn't, I was like, she played her really dumb. Which right. I guess maybe she was, I don't know, but it just I was so annoyed by it. I was like, I'm going to power through this. But I thought it was awful. Even to the end, I was like, oh, really bad.
And that's one of those things that I would never watch, but it's like some of those things that, I mean, it kind of goes back to like the Pam and Tommy thing. Some of the topics, like, and we worked on one of these movies together. There's some topics I will never touch and I will never watch. And I told you at the time I was not going to even watch the movie. I don't want to watch anything about 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
Never. I witnessed as it happened, obviously from afar, but watched things happen before they put a 5-second loop on the TV. And I don't need to watch this on a movie. So there's some things like that movie. And that's, I mean, there's been two or three movies about it now. Mm-hmm. And I understand some people need it. No, I am the opposite. Please never know. You know, I do not want to work on that. It's just, there's some topics that they can go away. Or one of the movies that got a lot of attention and a lot of award buzz, Mass. I don't want to watch that. I have a copy of it. I cannot bring myself to watch it because especially we just had a school shooting here.
I 100% agree. It was funny because I thought it was about church.
Yeah. And then, when somebody told me what it was about. Oh, look,
priests are molesting kids or something. Okay, you know, I could handle that. And then I found out it was a mass shooting. No.
No.
I couldn't see. And you know, the cast was great. Oh, I mean, I love Ann Dowd.
But, you know.
By the way, was so good as Mrs. Garrett. If you watched it, did you watch the live in front of the studio audience?
No.
Oh my God. She was Mrs. Garrett. She was so good. So good.
I do not tend to watch the live type, like the reboot or the live table reads and all that stuff. It's just not one. We also stream everything, but two, it's not my type of thing. I'm just kind of like.
Facts of Life, man. It was one of my favorite shows.
Because like, even like we have the Broadway and Detroit shows are actively going on. And like, the announcements are up on my site and all of that. I have yet to return to that theater because that's too many people, but I would love to see live stuff live, not on TV. Cause
I don't know, but she was so good. And as Mrs. I would like to just shout out to Ann Dowd, who is one of the sweetest women in the entire world. And so good on Handmaid's Tale. So I was like, oh, this cast. I mean, you had Jason Isaacs, Ann Dowd, you know, Martha Plimpton even was really good. You know, I was like, ooh, yay. And then I went, oh, no.
Right. And it's weird because, like, we got all of our FYC, well, not all of them, because occasionally one still comes in, the DVDs about that time. And we were having our film critic days and watching, you know, however many 14 movies in 2 days or whatever it was in theaters. And that's the same day that the school shooting happened here locally. Oof. And then somebody told me what that's about. And I was like, no, I mean, I was still in high school when Columbine happened.
Right.
So, you know, for me, and even I think Bowling for Columbine, there were kids in my school that were actually featured in it because there was a kid in my school who came to prom in traditional Scottish clothing, including a kilt, and he had the traditional dagger. Apparently they asked him for it. He gave it to them and then they expelled him. We won't discuss. Oh yeah. So he was actually featured in that. I was friends with his older sister and brother. He was actually featured in that movie because the extreme reactions that were still happening a year or two after the case, you know, after Columbine happened. So, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of that director, but we're not going to go into that. Michael Moore is.
I think Michael Moore.
He's very polarizing.
Very polarizing. Either, I mean, I like what he did with, was it Roger and Me about Flint?
Yes. And I understand the reason he does these things. I do. But I think the issue I have, I mean, especially him being so, you know, he's local.
Yeah.
But it's very much his opinion and that's the only one that matters.
Yes.
It's not very
one-sided. It's completely one-sided. So, not that there's two sides to Flint. I can't really imagine it.
Well, but especially now with water crisis, that still is happening. Let's
bring it. Still happening. I mean, is Flint done yet?
Like, no, my friends that live there, they can't sell their house. They still have bottled water because they don't have drinkable water.
See, that's ridiculous.
And it's how many years later? 7 or 8 years?
Ridiculous.
And what's worse? I mean, I don't necessarily think it's worse. I mean, what's just as bad? Half of Michigan's infrastructure, like water infrastructure, is just as bad. There are lines in our area, in my town, that have tested the same level, if not higher than Flint.
What?
Yeah, we have a water dispensing system that actually I got right before lockdown. It was for a paid campaign, but I have jugs of water delivered every couple months because we prefer bottled water. Our water, our lines in our neighborhood are safe. But yeah, it's a major issue. And it's all, if you look at the state of Michigan, if you look at the lead levels in the water lines, there's huge spikes all over the state. It's not just Flint. Flint got screwed. Let's be real. Yeah. The Detroit water system, oddly, is one of the best in the state. Our water, we switched to bottled water because of our water tasted very chlorinated. And we didn't like that. I still cook with it. We still shower with it.
Right.
But drinking water, what I'm drinking all the time, that comes from a dispenser and it's Ice Mountain. which comes from up north in Michigan and is purified. So
Ice Mountain.
You know, but if Flint is still, people can't sell their house. You can't sell your house.
Yeah.
And the price values, I mean, people talk about the values in Detroit.
Yeah.
Flint, it, you have to walk away. You can't, but then at the same time, you can't walk away from your job. You can't walk away from your family. You can't.
Right.
There's too many factors going on and the state hasn't fixed it.
Wow. That's actually shocking.
It, well, it is, but it's not.
When I lived in Downriver where the white trash flows.
Yes, sir.
I remember they tested our water in Lincoln Park.
Uh-huh.
And I remember them finding the lead levels.
Yeah. That
and I, we had a renter upstairs at a duplex. And I told her and she's like, well, I boil my water for the baby. She's a baby. And I went, that's not going to help you with lead, FYI, but whatever. I was obligated to tell her because we got it tested.
Right. And
I was like, okay, well, you know, so FYI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's horrible and sad and a reality still. And then most people, I mean, we are extremely lucky. One, I was lucky to have that campaign right before the lockdown happened. So,
yeah.
I had already, like I was filling up the water or whatever, and I found a place and had some delivered before lockdown happened because nobody could even get bottled water.
Wow.
You know, the stores were cleared and it's happening again because everybody's starting to kind of batten down the hatches and hopefully, you know, last time, but we'll find out.
Wow.
So, I mean, aren't we a nice, depressing talking podcast?
You know, it would have random topics today. Welcome to Random Topics. I'm joined by Miss Becky Fabulous Fixel. And we're going to go everything from Scream to Flint, Michigan. But, you know, that's
important topics. I mean, both are very important topics, which, okay, back to Scream real quick. This is the first one that Wes Craven didn't direct, obviously, since he is no longer with us.
Yes. And Kevin Williamson didn't write it. Is that correct?
I believe.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah.
I know 4 was weird. I'm not sure if he, you know, Kevin Williamson is credited, but I do know that there was a lot of things on that movie that were wrong. So I don't know.
If you want to talk about the credited thing, I mean, the movies we've been supposed to talk about for about a month, these John Hughes ones, there's ones, the new Home Alone 5 or whatever the hell it is on Disney Plus, Home Sweet Home Alone. That one's credited to him and he's dead too. Because it's
well, his characters. Yeah.
Well, based off his formula. And it does have two of his characters, although one of them is now in jail. But the guy who played Buzz got arrested, turned himself in for assault.
Wow. I never liked
the Home Alone. Out of it. You really.
I was so out of it. I never liked the Home Alone movies anyway, but no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that happened right by Christmas. He turned himself in for domestic abuse, I believe.
Oh.
Alleged.
That's so sad. Like,
I'll say alleged because, you know, everybody gets a benefit of the doubt until it's proven.
Okay.
Or at least they're supposed to legally. So.
I don't believe in that, but you know, yeah, it's true. I mean, I think it's impossible that you look at someone and say, oh, you're innocent until proven guilty. It's completely impossible in this day and age.
It is. But at the same time, you have
to
legally say that. So because then they get the fair day in court because everybody, even with whatever happened at the school here, you know, people complain that it says allegedly on the little news post and Facebook post. Right. We know he did it, but they can't say he did it conclusively until the thing is done in court. Stupid, but
it is what it is.
It is.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, all right. Well, we just jumped to 17 topics and that's awesome because welcome to 2022.
Hope maybe someday we'll stay on topic.
Thank you both for joining us on unpaidmoviecritics.com. Hi, Grandma. And, you know, next week, maybe we'll stick to our topic, but I doubt it because
probably not.
We always talk about, but that's part of the fun. I mean, if you just want to hear
randomness,
go somewhere else, which you probably are. So, you know, yay. Anyway, thank you for joining us. We will be back hopefully next week and no one gets sick.
Please, no one's getting sick.
Please stay safe out there.
It's really crazy.
It's really crazy. And if you do end up getting sick, please stay hydrated. Follow the advice of your doctors, and make sure you get a lot of rest, because, you know, this thing isn't a joke. I just went through it. So,
which is unfortunate. So we will be back hopefully next week, and hopefully we'll have some more actual movie reviews, and Mike can tell us what he thinks of Scream as well as Pam and Tommy, if he gets to see it by then.
I don't think I'll see Pam and Tommy though, but I will.
I don't remember what day it comes out. I'll post it in the thing. I'm not sure.
Sounds good.
All right. We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.